Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. I've said that in a more sort of serious way. It's because yeah. I'm sat at my parents' dining table.
Lovely.
And it feels like a more sort of serious venue. This is exclusively used for Sort of Christmas dinners. That's about it. It doesn't really get used otherwise. So yeah, I just feel like I've got to sort of feel like there's got to be some sort of sensible behaviour.
Yeah, nod to the occasion. Are you wearing black tie?
I'm wearing a black hoodie.
It's not quite the same, is it?
It's not as
formal as you've led me to believe that room is, frankly, Pete.
No, that's true.
Well, there you go. Well, this is like the question time version of Friends with Friends this week. Then it's going to be all very serious. We're going to take it all very seriously. Going to get into some deep issues. Mm. And we're going to hopefully solve society and the world's problems all in the next 40 minutes or so.
It's a good job we're not actually doing that because this is a really funny episode.
Yeah, it's a very good episode, isn't it? And actually, frankly, you're wearing a black hoodie. I'm not wearing a shirt at all. So as sort of serious panel show discussions go, I'm not dressed for it at all.
Serious panel show discussions.
You got question time. Not like this. This isn't a serious podcast.
Imagine if they did question time shirtless. Fiona Bruce just in a bra.
It feels like a sort of comic relief thing that they might resort to at some point when they're really running out of ideas, you know? But hey, I frankly, the sort of people that get on question time, and this is no offence to some of the people on question time, some of whom we know, Pete, but no offence to them, most of them I don't want to see without a shirt on, frankly.
It's very gammony, isn't it?
You know? There'll be a lot of that. Yeah, exactly. Shirtless gammon question. I honestly didn't see this being the opening pitter-patter chatter for this week's episode.
Here we are. Anyway, it's a very good episode of Friends.
It is a very good episode of Friends, actually.
But which one is it, Dave?
Oh, I see. Oh, you're doing a bit. Well, shall I read the request?
Yeah, go for it.
It's from Charlotte, who signs off. Charlotte, chick emoji, duck emoji, which I like that. Yeah. Very much appreciate. Ahoy, you pair of legends. Oh, no wonder you're getting your request read out.
You can't read that bit. That's too humble brag.
Embarrassing, isn't it? Okay, look, I just won't read it out, okay? I won't read it out, but you know, it's just there, isn't it? It's already been said. What can you do? But I definitely won't read it out again. Ahoy, Pro Legends. Please, can I please request the episode The One with the Cuffs, Season 4, Episode 3. Love the bit. I've just read the next sentence. Love the bits with Chandler and Joanna, brackets, RIP, bus emoji.
It did occur to me, again, whenever there's an episode with Joanna in it, it sort of takes me a couple of minutes and then I think, she ends up getting hit by a bus.
Yeah. Is it a bus or a cab? I thought it was a cab.
Whatever. Same. I was going to say.
Yeah,
same
I know,
thing.
But,
it's, same
I think,
thing, but
I think this is a bus emoji.
Death by vehicle.
Death by vehicle. Yes. Yeah. It's in all of Friends, it's the sort of bizarrest, quickest, most shocking thing. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, there's a lot of deaths, but they're treated fairly sensitively, mostly, apart from this one, where it's just like, oh, you're not here. She got run over and died. The end.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, lol. Oh, I didn't give a promotion. Bye.
I think very I've made strange. This comparison before, but yeah, it's very Poochie returned to his home planet. No, died on the way home to his home planet.
Exactly. Love the bits of Phoebe and Monica, but my fave plot is definitely Joey and the encyclopedias. What a mad and invasive way of selling books. Absolutely, I've got thoughts on this. I love the pod. You guys are brilliant. I'm not going to read that bit either, Pete. Don't worry. Thanks for all your hard work and always bringing the lols. Basically, I should have
hard stopped. Work. What a con we've got going on there.
No, it is hard work, Pete. It's very hard to get out of bed to record this today. That is hard work, if nothing else. No, we do appreciate it. Thank you very much. I've got a first question for you. Shall I read you a synopsis first?
Go on.
So it's season 4, episode 3, 4, 666-03. We're in the 666s, the 666, the devil's season, they might call it. The one with the cuffs, directed, Pete, by...
Bonus, did clock that.
Peter Bonus. Yeah, it's a bonus one. Of course it's a bloody bonus one. And actually, ironically... or not ironically, maybe, for a bonus episode, there are jokes about bonus.
Yes, that's true.
Like it's full circle. This is
finally his calling.
Yeah, this is peak bonus. Bonus has been like, I'm going to do the episode. It's all about. Yeah. Anyway, it was quite a long synopsis here. Joey's enticed when a door-to-door encyclopedia salesman shows up at his apartment, since he's always felt left out when the gang has intellectual conversations, like topless question time. However, Joey can only afford to buy the sample volume and becomes knowledgeable only on subjects starting with the letter V. Meanwhile, Monica caters a party for her mother, but the mini quiches are ruined when one of her false fingernails gets lost. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's so long. There's like 9 lines here. And meanwhile, Chandler begins dating Rachel's boss, Joanna, again, but lands in a sticky situation when she handcuffs him inside her office. I'm not going to read the whole episode, but the synopsis, but the final sentence is worth saying. Rachel walks in to find Chandler stuck there pantsless. I really enjoy the word pantsless. God, whoever's written this synopsis, and obviously it's different people that write different ones, but they've misunderstood the idea of a synopsis. They've literally detailed in here the fact that Rachel and Sophie go in because Joanna started making a list of the Christmas bonuses previously that morning. It's like, that is, we're not in synopsis territory now, we're in entire storyline episode there, aren't we?
Might as well just put the script.
Well, yeah, exactly. And frankly, what I've done is not read it out to save us time, then talk for longer, frankly, about how long the synopsis is, thus negating all the time we've saved. But, you know,
is anyone still with us?
Of course they are. They're enjoying the hard work, Pete.
Yeah, it's true.
Everybody's appreciating the hard work we're putting in. My first question is, the fuck's Ross doing?
He's not really in it, is he?
He's not in it at all. He's in it in the final. So he's only in it in the flashbacks when Joey is thinking back to times that he's felt left out of conversations, which is about 10 seconds.
And then in Central Perk
in the very final scene. Yeah. Basically sort of negating the fact that Chandler doesn't have a big old bing. Apart from that,
don't
Ross
call
isn't,
it a bing.
Well, I can't think of a
penis.
I can't
say that in my parents' dining room.
There it is. You ruined it. Christmas is ruined now. When you're sitting at Christmas dinner in a few weeks' time, Pete, all you're going to be thinking is, I've said the word penis here to thousands and thousands of people. And you'll feel shame. Hang your head in shame. Okay, Chandler's penis. Or if you want to call biology on you. And anatomically correct. But yeah, apart from that, Ross isn't in the episode at all. Bizarre.
Yeah, I don't think I clocked that. I didn't really notice it until you said.
I'd never clocked it before until watching it back now. So they obviously do it very well, because it's effectively an episode of a sitcom where there are 6 main characters and one of them's clearly just either on holiday or going through something. You know, something's happened that week to David Schwimmer, right? So he's just not in it. And he's done about an hour of shooting for that one scene, and that's about it. And they cover it well. You don't notice as a sort of casual viewer, do you? Until you start absolutely ripping it apart for specific details. So, well-directed boners, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, good bonering.
But they've effectively replaced David Schwimmer with Penn Jillette, because everybody pairs off apart from Joey, who, rather than pairing off with Ross, who's the only character left, pairs off with one half of a magician duo.
Are we starting with this bit? Because I think it was mentioned in Char's message about an aggressive sales technique. I mean, he literally sort of strides in through the half-opened front door, doesn't he? Why is someone selling encyclopedias door-to-door?
He bursts in, doesn't he? He absolutely bursts in. Yeah, it's an interesting situation, because as Joey points out right at the end, I mean, especially in that situation, you should assume that man is not going to be able to afford a set of $1,200 encyclopedias, right?
Well, also, if he did want them, he's not got them on him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a good job he does want only one copy, because that seemingly is all that this... A magician has arrived at his door selling books, but he is up for buying one of them. So good job, because he's all out of stock, isn't he?
Well, maybe, Pete, having seen Pendulette do their thing, maybe
he'll... Pull them out of a hat.
Yeah, that briefcase looks small, but it probably contains 26 volumes of an encyclopedia.
Like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. It's a Mary Poppins encyclopedia. No, don't be sorry. We're on the same wavelength. Immediately relate everything back to Mary Poppins. That's my kind of conversation.
I nearly went for Hermione has one in Harry Potter as well.
A magic bag?
A bag that has shitloads in it.
Does she?
TARDIS bag.
A TARDIS bag. Oh, yeah.
Bigger on the inside.
Yeah, fair enough. So maybe that's where he gets the volumes on. But you're quite right. Unless you've got him in the car downstairs, he must just be carrying the V around, right? Because at the end, even when Joey finds the $50, he offers him any... He sort of goes, which one do you want? A, B, C? You know, as if he's got them all to hand. You fraud. You can't fool us.
$50 is quite a lot for one book, isn't it?
Single book, mate. This is what I was going to say. So Joey clearly can't afford the full set. Frankly, like, who would on the spur of the moment drop over $1,000 on some encyclopedias that they didn't think they wanted that morning, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't.
Sort of thing that Joey would buy, though, when he becomes a soap opera star and has loads of money and buys all those weird ornaments.
Yeah, that's true. But it feels like Pendulette should be selling, like, his encyclopedias in shops like that, where people with lots of money and no taste... No idea how to actually be sophisticated. Shop. That's where he should be selling them, not just door-to-door. I wouldn't, frankly, even buy one volume for 50... If I was in Joey's situation and I found $50 in my pants... I'm thrilled that I've got $50. I'm not immediately exchanging that for a fucking book on vivisection.
Especially when you're in a situation where you don't have any furniture.
Exactly. That's what I mean. He could have bought a nice $50 chair.
Isn't going to get you... Exactly. $50 isn't going to get you a great amount of furniture, but it's going to get you something.
It would get you a single item that is exactly one item more than you already have.
Second-hand.
Yeah, sat in a rusty garden furniture or a canoe.
Or some Pottery Barn.
Well, exactly. Get down to Pottery Barn. Get yourself an apothecary table. Not for $50, I'm sure. But yeah, it's an intriguing technique, as Char points out, a mad and invasive way of selling books. To be fair, he happens upon the right person. He happens upon Joey, who needs the books.
I do like that line.
You need these books. Yeah. I mean, Pendulette, the character he plays is good, isn't it? It's a burst of energy, I'd say, into that episode. Considering it's a really short, I hadn't noticed this, because when I was reading the request, I thought, that is my favourite plot line of it as well. But it's really short. It's basically three scenes. He arrives, there's a little flashback, then he just sort of goes, where does the Pope live? The Vatican. And that joke about Spock's birth control, which I never got until this time round, because this is the first time I've watched it with subtitles on.
What's the joke again?
The vulcanized rubber. And it's just because this is a... have you just got it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I never heard the word Spock ever. I've watched this episode, obviously, 10,000 times, because that's what we do this podcast for. But I've never watched it with subtitles on before. And I thought Joey said Spark's birth control. maybe because of his accent or, you know, whatever it was. And so I've always just gone, I don't understand that line.
It's quite a good joke.
It's a really good joke now that I've fucking seen the word. And I don't even know why it didn't click before. But yeah, that's the first time ever in my, in all my 30 something years, that I've actually understood that joke. So there you go.
Also weird seeing the chick in its pubescent stage.
Yeah.
Walks through the living room and it's all fluffy because it's getting its feathers.
Yeah. I love that you've noticed the sort of growing stages of a small
adolescent chick.
Adolescent chick. Yeah, it is. It's cute. They're really at the start of their journey.
Chickens generally aren't cute, though.
What, fully grown chickens?
Chicks are. Chickens aren't.
Yeah, they are the sort of opposite of the ugly duckling swan vibe, aren't they?
Yeah, they get worse.
In their infancy, and then they just get... But yeah, they're not cute, a chicken.
They are the Benjamin Buttons of poultry. No, hang on, he goes back to being a baby, which is quite cute. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. Ignore that.
What is the opposite of the ugly duckling? There must be a story that's like the opposite of the ugly duckling. And we're going to sit here in silence until we think...
The fantastic duck. The sexy duck is the opposite of the ugly duckling.
Oh, we can't play a sting after you've just said the sexy duck, but I can't think of any other way out of this conversation, so just play
too late,
sting.
Done it.
No, stop it. Don't say sexy duck again. Oh, dearie me. Where were we before the sexy duck?
Well, we were done with Joey, weren't we?
I think we probably were. I do like Joey's attempts to crowbar all the things he learned into the conversation at the end. That is absolutely textbook Joey. The only other thing about this end of this plot line is when they start talking about the Korean War, I get the point is that they're just having conversations that Joey doesn't understand. But what a fucking mad line Chandler says. Could there be any more Kims?
Yeah, that's not aged well, has it?
Not at all. But would that have been a good thing to say even at the time?
Yeah, probably right.
Like, I just don't think that would have ever felt like a... And it's... I get that it's the point of it is it's supposed to be indecipherable to Joey and he sort of just laughs along, but the rest of them all go, ha, 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 isn't that funny? But what a mad old racist way to end the episode. Cheers, guys.
Xenophobic vibe from Chandler there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Monica and the Quiches?
Monica and the Quiches,
cool,
yeah.
Band name.
Dark joke about Monica's grandmother's cold, dead hands, isn't it?
Yeah, because Monica's... I was trying to work out when they said when we found her. She was in hospital when she died, wasn't she? They sort of implied that they sort of found her on the street.
Yeah, found dead in the hospital.
Right.
It's just very dark.
Yeah, the whole thing is
funny, but dark.
Yeah, funny but dark. Absolutely fine.
Kind of being next level super bitch in this episode, isn't she?
Yeah, I was trying to... This is the curse of us watching it out of order is I can't quite remember when Judy softens a bit towards Monica completely, but this feels like narratively the first time that she starts to soften, you know, at the end when she sort of realises... And I mean, literally says, I'm a bitch, you know, out loud herself. So.
And it's a good job she acknowledges that because, you know, betting on your daughter making a mistake is an inherently dick move.
Well, betting dick move one, telling your daughter dick move two, and telling your daughter in a way where you're sort of like, why are you not laughing at this, you absolute idiot? You know, like proper lack of any sort of empathy for Monica's emotions at that time. It's really...
I really like that line from Monica about, oh, you promised doctor, I can't remember the surname of the doctor.
Yeah.
That you would stop using that term or stop saying that. And it's funny how using the doctor's surname in that sentence makes it funnier. Like, it makes it more obvious that that's a conversation that's been had a number of times.
Yeah, it's a really punchy way of writing it, isn't it? It's really funny. The dynamic between Monica and Judy is... There's a lot of funny lines, but it is just like you can't help but feel really sorry for Monica in this situation because Judy's being awful, isn't she? At the start, especially.
It also just looks at one point like Judy's just hired Monica to place lettuce leaves on a plate with the help of Phoebe. Like, there's one whole scene where they're preparing the plate and it's just all focused on preparing lettuce.
Well, it takes a long time, Pete, to prepare lettuce, as well we know. You need four pairs of hands for it. Well, I remember
four
when
pairs of hands.
Four hands, not four pairs of hands. Everybody has two hands, Pete. I know this.
Not everybody has two hands, Dave.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Okay, fair. I don't know where to go with that now.
Anyway, lettuce.
You really led me down the garden path.
Quiche,
there.
Lettuce, nail in lettuce. No, not nail in lettuce.
Nail in quiche.
I really like Phoebe's. The ruined quiches are ready when the beep goes off or the timer.
Phoebe has a really fun role here of sort of cutting the tension between Monica and Julian. There's a fair few little funny moments where that happens. I really particularly also enjoy the you might say she did a Monica. Oh, she doesn't know we switched it. Like,
yeah,
and the other
great Phoebe bit is the scene where they're in Monica's old bedroom with the gym equipment, and then she makes that comment about how strong her boobs are when she uses a weights machine. Really good.
Yeah, Phoebe gets to just dick about in this episode, doesn't she?
And
have a nice time. Well, no, she does. I feel like she undercuts Monica a little bit at the start. So that bit where Monica and Judy are having the conversation about why she hired her, and Judy says, oh, I heard the food was good and the food was good. And Monica takes that to be, oh, she hired me because I was good. And Phoebe goes, well, I didn't hear that. I was like, I mean, that is effectively what she said, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't think, I know she was being snarky and having digs at Monica for not having sex, weirdly, whilst doing it. But she was basically saying, you've catered to two parties that I've heard were very good. So I think Phoebe was, doing Monica a bit down there to say that Judy wasn't saying that. Anyway, Phoebe talks Monica into getting back into it. She makes a casserole from scratch. I mean, the timings here, we talk about timings in the Friends world. The timings here do not work out. If you've already used what would have been the prep time to make and, you know, cook your quiches, where are you getting the fucking casserole from scratch?
Yes, it's true. It's quite impressive spontaneous cooking.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to go out to the store, get all the ingredients, presumably, unless it's sort of like a casserole of things she's found in Judy's kitchen. But frankly, if you weren't someone's daughter and you did do that, they would feel a bit aggrieved if you just went into their kitchen and go, right, I'm just going to find the ingredients here as the professional chef at your party. What have you got in the cupboards?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
If you hear any noises, by the way, I think my dad's just making his lunch next door.
Well, I can't hear the noises, but you seem to be, they almost seem to be distracting you, which leads me to wonder how loudly your dad makes lunch and what he is making.
I think he was whistling as well.
Was he?
In that way that sort of middle-aged men just spontaneously whistle.
Spontaneously whistling, yeah, that is different to spontaneously sort of singing, isn't it? Like, I find myself as I get older sort of doing that thing that used to really embarrass me when my dad did it when I was a kid, of sort of just like singing as I do stuff, you know?
Mm.
But whistling's a different thing, isn't it? Whistling does indicate a hearty middle age, I'd say.
I'm just pointing out in case there's some strange noises.
Okay, what is he whistling though, do you know?
What is he whistling?
Yeah, what tune? What sort of stuff?
Don't know. I think he's making up his own. He's just whistling to his own rhythm, you know.
A little cucking ditty.
Yeah,
fair, absolutely fair. Well, I can't hear anything, so presumably you can't hear anything listening, and therefore presumably this entire conversation has been a moo point.
Mm.
But it's good to flag it up just in case. But you're quite right. And on that note, should we talk about Chandler and Joanna?
I never used to get that squeaking joke from Joey, but now watching it with an older pair of eyes, I see that it's about bed springs. That's what it's about.
Bed springs. Yeah, big old bed, sexy squeaking joke, isn't it? Although it's very funny, the bit at the end where Chandler goes, oh, I used to do it on my own or whatever, and Joey does like the half bed springs, but like, I'm trying to find a couth way of saying this. Like, if you're making your bed spring, that's a vigorous wank, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Is what I mean.
Yeah. Like, it's coming off in your hand if you're doing it that.
Right. Like, I get it follows the pattern of the joke, but if the beds are audibly springing, if the bed springs are audibly squeaking when you are alone, you are going to town.
Or you need a new mattress.
Yeah, maybe.
Go see the Mattress King.
Yeah, $4.99 for a pillow top queen set. I'll tell you what, this is either a huge showing of confidence or a sort of lack of awareness of how bad the situation is. But if you wanted to have sex with somebody, you would not bring them back to the empty apartment filled with rusty garden furniture and a canoe, would you?
That is true. That is true.
And Joanna just seems... Joanna's a high-powered executive.
Yeah, but she's up for anywhere, isn't she, clearly?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, we can talk about Joanna in a minute, but she seems very happy in... it's not even a student-level apartment this now anymore, is it? It's like a squatter's...
No, we see Joey chipping chewing gum off the bottom of a table he found.
I mean, it's vile, the whole thing, isn't it? It gives me the little sort of shivers, this vibe, because it just would be, I know it's funny, but, I mean, Chandler's got some cash. Why is he not buying some furniture? Why are they not finding it? Is there not an equivalent of, you know, your free cycle or anything like that these days? They could have got some secondhand furniture. You don't just have to sit in a canoe and the chewing gum table. But like you say, Joanna is rampant, I would say.
And she's also just such an awful character that she becomes quite great, because I know obviously she's bullying Sophie and that's terrible, but the bit where Sophie offers her she's bought her some food or something, hasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, yeah.
And the brutal instant, oh great, I'll keep it in my butt with your nose. Like it's such a sort of sharp, unnecessary put down that even like the audience kind of laugh, but also gasp at how to the point it is.
Yeah, it's too cutting, isn't it? I mean, like, Joanna, let's face it, would be fired in any sort of modern context, or probably real life. Even back then, there would have probably been, you know, if somebody else overhears that sort of comment, that is, like you say, pretty extreme workplace bullying at its most blatant, isn't it? My question is, I mean, so this storyline takes a very quick turn from fooling around in her office, also in the middle of the day. Come on, Joanna, like, the door's open. But why do the cuffs get involved at all? At what point does she take that call from her boss, which clearly doesn't sound like a just nip outside for 2 minutes like she says call. That feels
she's a boy for a few hours, isn't she?
Right, well, exactly. But even the way she has that conversation, like, come this way, it's like, no, it feels like an emergency that's going to take some time to sort out. Why handcuff a man to your chair at all, frankly?
It happens in a not particularly sexy moment, doesn't it? It's just they're sort of, you know, it's almost like it's done.
Right. Well, he's fully pants off, but a shirt on. So without drawing...
Opposite of you.
Well, opposite of me, exactly. Between me and Matthew Perry back in that episode, we are currently in a full acceptable outfit. But without drawing any specific, I realise I haven't explained on the main podcast why I'm topless, have I?
I don't think you should.
No, okay, fine, we'll just leave it. But at least I should flag up that I haven't explained it, but I won't now explain it. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, so Chandler's pants off, shirt on. So we can infer what's just been happening, right?
Yes.
And like you say, it feels like it's done. But why? I know she sort of says, oh, it's hot thinking of you waiting here for me, but
it's very inconvenient for Chandler.
I'd be so pissed off if I was him. If that was a real life situation, I'd be so annoyed. Even if it was only for 5 minutes, I'd just be like, this is incredibly uncomfortable for me, unprofessional for you. My literal friend works for you and is outside the door.
Well, that's the only sort of, maybe he deserves it for going against Rachel.
Yeah, but that's not what Joanna doesn't know about that. So that's just sort of a karma thing that sort of comes round, I guess, isn't it? But Joanna's not doing it for that reason. Like,
I just mean Chandler kind of deserves it.
Yeah, Joanna's motivation is absolutely mad. But then Rachel finds out, she walks in with Sophie because she's got the key. Shout out to the Walkman.
Yeah, that's nice.
Two mentions of the humble Sony Walkman. I wonder if people actually, if you are, I know we have tiers of listeners. No, that's not the right word. Generations of listeners, because we've got quite a few people that listen to this podcast now who are from the younger age that they weren't around when Friends was on in the first place. Did you know what a Walkman was when you were watching this? Or did you have to look it up? And should we be telling you what a Walkman is? Should this be part of the...
Well, there were different eras, weren't there? Because there was cassette Walkman and then CD Walkman.
Yeah, there were, yeah. Did you have both?
Probably, yeah.
I definitely had a CD Walkman. I must have had a cassette Walkman before that, I guess. Certainly had a cassette hi-fi at one point. What time to be alive that was. I remember going to school with my CD Walkman and my...
And it would skip if you stepped too heavily.
Oh, awful. Yeah. Awful. And then
They invented anti-skip button. They
did,
didn't they? They made that like a thing.
Yeah,
they put that on the actual Walkman, yeah.
Yeah, it did fucking nothing. I had to choose which 10 CDs I wanted in my CD wallet for school that day. That must have taken so much room in my fucking bag. Absolutely mad.
Talking of doing nothing, it's almost time for a quiz, and I'm very curious to know if you've got one.
Okay, well, let's finish this storyline and then I'll reveal the quiz.
Fine.
Okay. Who's Milton Berle?
assumed porn star.
No, incorrect. Comedian.
Oh.
Yeah.
With a reputation for...
A giant Bing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Bing doesn't make it sound giant.
No, it doesn't actually, does it? It's a strange reference because it's clearly not obvious that everybody knows he had a big dick, because Chandler goes, did Milton Berle, you know, and Rachel has to tell him.
Mm.
So it's clearly not sort of well known enough. But hey, he gets a big old shout out. He died in 2002, aged 93, Pete.
Oh, I don't like thinking about an old big penis.
Well, considering this was season what? Four, so this is about 98, 99. So this man at the time of them making the big penis joke is 90 years old.
Yeah, just leave him to it.
Leave him to it. Don't bring his little Milton into it.
Well, not so little Milton.
Poor massive Milton, yeah.
Massive Milton.
It's just a strange reference, isn't it? My favourite line of this, I think, is Jennifer Aniston's delivery of I could be very generous or very stingy.
Yeah, that little squeak. That's really good.
Can squeak is so funny. And I love how quickly that is debunked by Joey and Ross, within seconds. In hindsight, and actually at the time, terrible deal for Chandler to make, right?
Oh, yeah, dreadful, because that's the sort of thing that the reputation could quite easily be undone as quickly as it's made, which is what happened.
Why would... It just doesn't make sense that you'd want a reputation for having a big Peter Boners if you didn't have one, because all that
then
does...
you're going to disappoint everyone.
Right, exactly. Even if someone has developed an interest in you because they've heard about it, how are you going to fake that once push comes to shove, as it were?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
I know, terrible. I didn't mean that at all. That was, but yeah, I don't know. It's a terrible deal for him to strike to then get handcuffed up again, although it does buy him the opportunity of turning the tables on Joanna, which is a funny reveal at the end, isn't it?
That's true, yeah.
Well, and a good way of getting out of that relationship. Thus ends the what's-a-majiggy.
That were you slapping your bare chest?
I wasn't, but I could if you want. Do you want me to end it like that?
Yeah.
Let's end this segment.
Deep. Right, quiz.
Oh, so I did a lot of good admin, didn't I, last week? With the did you enjoy my Instagram
post? There were a lot,
post?
Yeah, I did. Although, when you look at it on the grid, on the Instagram grid, that really, really troubles me.
Because it's such a bad...
Yeah. Although yeah. I've just realised I've forgotten to tell people what this week's episode is today. So,
well, there you go. Well, you should put it on there at least and start nudging my Instagram slide down. So the whole point of me putting it on this grid was so that we'd both have access to the quiz.
Oh my God, have you not got a quiz? Unbelievable.
I was so proud of myself.
Unbelievable.
I was so proud of myself.
All right, see you next week.
I was so proud of it. I was enjoying so much how many people were responding and volunteering.
And then you didn't even ask any of them to do one. Anyway, brilliant.
There's like at least 35 people already that want to do it.
Well, let me tell you what next week's episode is, and then you can immediately message someone and ask them to do a quiz.
Yeah, I'm going
to
do it on the... It's all going to be done on the Instagram, on that Instagram post forever, right. Okay? So I'm going to comment under somebody's comment. Right. Go, tell me what the episode
next is. Next week's episode is the one with the ski trip.
I'm just replying to Becky's comment. Could you do us a quiz for next
week? And next week, we'll do that episode. Becky will never have replied, and then we won't have a quiz. Season 3, episode 17, by the way.
Season 3, episode 17? Is that relevant, or...?
No, I'm just telling you.
Oh, right, fine, thank you. Thank you very much. So on that
grateful.
Note... No, I thought that was like a notable number.
Yeah, whatever. Bye.
Bye. All the best. Bye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.